Hello, everyone. Let's continue now in our Bible study through the book of Job. Last time, we finished chapter 19. And if you recall, that's when Job was giving his defense after being criticized and impugned and corrected by his friends. He gives a defense of himself. After Job spoke, now notice, chapter 20, verse 1, "Then answered Zophar the Naamathite and said, 'Therefore do my thoughts cause me to answer, and for this I make haste. I have heard the check of my reproach, and the spirit of my understanding causes me to answer. Knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment? Though his excellency mount up to the heavens, and his head reach unto the clouds.'" He's saying here, you may be high and mighty and powerful, and you may be famous and very popular, Job, but something is wrong, and it's now bringing you down. You are wicked. You are a hypocrite, or this wouldn't be happening to you, is the message being passed along here by Zophar. And that's not true, but he keeps on pounding away at that and just grinding away at Job with his accusations. Notice verse 7 now. "Yet he shall perish forever like his own dung. They which have seen him shall say, 'Where is he? What happened to Mr. Big Shot?' He shall fly away as a dream and shall not be found. Yea, he shall be chased away as a vision of the night. The eye also which saw him shall see him no more, neither shall his place any more behold him." He's gone. He thought he was here permanently. Other people thought he was here permanently, but he's wicked and he's a hypocrite and he's gone. Do you get the point, Job? That's what this man is saying to Job as he sits there in pain and suffering, just bearing down on him with no comfort at all. Verse 10, "His children shall seek to please the poor and his hands shall restore their goods. His bones are full of the sin of his youth, which shall lie down with him in the dust." In other words, he's saying here that not only is he going to fail, his children are not going to be so high and mighty either. They're going to try to gain favor with the poor and give back goods that they have taken from the poor. If they did that, which they probably didn't, it's just an accusation here. And all that you've been doing in your life now is coming back to haunt you, Job. And you're going to take it to the grave with you. Verse 12, "Though wickedness be sweet in his mouth, though he hide it under his tongue, though he spare it and forsake it not, but keep it still within his mouth, yet his meat in his bowels is turned. It is the gall of asp within him. His food in his stomach turns sour and becomes like cobra venom," is a better translation here. All of the pain and suffering you're having is as a result of your wickedness, Job. Don't you see that? Can't you come to see it? You came across as being holier than thou and high and mighty, but all along you were a wicked hypocrite. That's what this man is saying to him. And now you're paying the price. "He has swallowed down riches, and he shall vomit them up again. God shall cast them out of his belly. He shall suck the poison of asp. The viper's tongue shall slay him. He shall not see the rivers, the floods, the brooks of honey and butter, the good times, the pleasant times, the beautiful scenery, and the wonderful family time that he has seen before. It's all going to be gone now because of his wickedness." Do you hear that, Job? That's kind of the tone of this man's speech here. "That which he labored for shall he restore, and shall not swallow it down. According to his substance shall the restitution be, and he shall not rejoice therein. From the proceeds of his business, he will have no enjoyment," is what the point is there. You labor and labor and labor, but you're not going to enjoy the fruit of your labor now because of your sin. Verse 19, "Because he has oppressed and has forsaken the poor, because he has violently taken away a house which he builded not." Now, where's the proof he did that? Now the accusations are stacking up, and one on top of the other, building up higher and higher and smashing and crushing down on Job as he is in a condition of weakness and great pain and illness and disease. Some help this friend is. He's got a problem with self-righteousness himself, and he's accusing Job of so many things that he himself is guilty of. Verse 20, surely he shall not feel quietness in his belly. He shall not save of that which he desired. There shall none of his meat be left. Therefore shall no man look for his goods. He's not going to be able to enjoy the life that he had before, because now all of this evil has produced all of this problem that he's having to experience right now. Verse 21, a better translation, there shall none of his food be left, therefore his prosperity will not endure. In the fullness of his sufficiency, he shall be in straits. He may have a whole lot, but he's still going to have tremendous distress and problems. Every hand of the wicked shall come upon him, and there will be evil and wickedness that will close in on him. He has sowed what he is now reaping. Now he's having to pay for what he thought he got away with in the past. Just a tremendous deluge of accusations being poured out here, none of which are proven and most of which are not true at all. When he is about to fill his belly, God shall cast the fury of his wrath upon him and shall rain it upon him while he is eating. He shall flee from the iron weapon, and the bow of steel shall strike him through. Now, this was thousands of years ago that we're reading about in verse 24. And look, they already had steel and iron and bronze. They had already learned how to extract that from the earth, from the minerals, from the ore, from the rocks. They were far more advanced from creation forward. They were far more advanced than history and so-called experts give them credit for. They didn't start out like half man, half ape, dragging their knuckles along the ground, living in caves and grunting. They were created by Almighty God at a high level of intelligence and talent and ability. And because of disobedience and breaking God's laws and turning their back on God, have been in a state of decline ever since until we've come where we are now. They used to live 700, 800, 900 years. And now if we live 70 years, we're doing good. So they were able to invent and develop advanced tools and living circumstances and situations far earlier than we give them credit for, and were much more capable, much more well-informed, much more intelligent than most even realize. And here's a case in point. Here we read about iron and steel, and another translation says bronze. Verse 25, it is drawn and comes out of the body. Yea, the glittering sword comes out of his gall. Terrors are upon him. He's talking about the evil and being attacked and the sword thrusting him through. And the word gall here in another translation is rendered gallbladder. Verse 26, all darkness shall be hid in his secret places. A fire not blown shall consume him. It shall go ill with him that is left in his tabernacle. The heaven shall reveal his iniquity, and the earth shall rise up against him. The increase of his house shall depart, and his goods shall flow away in the day of his wrath. This is the portion of a wicked man from God, and the heritage appointed unto him by God. Curse after curse after curse after curse is pronounced on Job for things he didn't do. He was a very upright and staunchly righteous man, a very outstanding servant of God, above blame. And yet they are accusing him of being a wicked, evil individual, full of all kinds of corruption and sin, and therefore being punished on all sides. That's not an accurate picture. However, the problem Job did have was not just being righteous, but he grew to where he was self-righteous instead of having the righteousness of God in him, which also brings with it humility, not self-importance, self-aggrandizement, egotism, and self-importance, vanity and pride. And Job had allowed himself to be caught up in those things. But you don't see those problems being mentioned here. God will mention them, but these three friends won't, because they're not really there to help Job. They're not really there in sincerity. They're hypocrites themselves, and they have many of the problems they're accusing Job of. Well, we come now to chapter 21, and Job answers this man. Chapter 21 and verse 1. But Job answered and said, hear diligently my speech, and let this be your consolation, your comfort. Suffer me that I may speak. And after that I have spoken, mock on. Go ahead if you want to. Just mock away. That's all you're doing is mocking me. As for me, is my complaint to man? If it were so, why should not my spirit be troubled? Mark me and be astonished, and lay your hand upon your mouth. Even when I remember, I am afraid, and trembling takes hold on my flesh. Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power? Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offsprings before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. I'm not blaming man for my problem. I'm not trying to figure out what man has done to me. I'm looking to God to see why this problem has come on me and what I need to do to get it taken care of. And that's what Job is getting around to slowly. And then he says, you're accusing me of all of these problems because I'm wicked. What do you say to this? Look at how the wicked seem to be just prospering on all sides. Now, eventually it catches up to them. But everything you said has been taken away from me because I'm wicked. All those things are given to those who are doing wicked. Now, what's your answer about that? Verse 9, their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull genders and fails not, their cow calves and casts not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. They just have a tremendous life, even though they're hypocrites and they're wicked. And then, without lingering illness, they die. How do you answer that? Now, of course, they don't get away with any of that. It all catches up later. But he blows their argument right out of the water. You say, I'm suffering because I'm wicked. What do you say to this? What about the wicked that aren't suffering all around? They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment they go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of your ways. We don't need you. We don't want anything to do with God. We don't need him. And there's people that say that today. Oh, they're sorry for saying that sooner or later in their lives. They think they're getting away with it, but nobody does. It's just that God is very, very merciful, and he knows when the best time comes to deal with them, and that's when he'll deal with them. And believe me, they'll be sorry for being wicked and being hypocritical. But if you use the argument being promoted here by Job's friends, it doesn't hold any water because Job is saying here, you're saying I'm suffering because I'm wicked and that the wicked suffer. Well, look at the wicked that we all know about that aren't suffering. What about them? Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of your ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him, and what profit should we have if we pray unto him? Lo, their good is not in their hand. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. How oft is the candle of the wicked put out, and how oft comes their destruction upon them? God distributes sorrows in his anger. It hits them, and I haven't suffered the things they've suffered because they're wicked, and I haven't done the things they've done, and I have prospered, and I have been blessed. So you're not making sense, and you're inconsistent, and you're not logical. This is Job's answer. Verse 18, they are as stubble before the wind, and as chaff that the storm carries away. God lays up his iniquity for his children, and he rewards him, and he shall know it. The punishment comes. It's just a matter of when God chooses for it to hit, at the most effective time. His eyes shall see his destruction, and he shall drink of the wrath of the Almighty. For what pleasure has he in his house after him, when the number of his months is cut off in the midst? Shall any teach God knowledge, seeing he judges those that are high? Are you prancing about and preaching as if you're teaching God something, while you correct me? Who do you think you are, Zophar? What gives you all of this perfection? And compared to you, I am the personification of evil and wickedness. That's the tone you find here as Job answers. Verse 22, shall any teach God knowledge, seeing he judges those that are high? One dies in his full strength, being wholly at ease and quiet. His breasts are full of milk. His bones are moistened with marrow. And another dies in the bitterness of his soul and never eats with pleasure. Looks like some wicked people get away with it and other wicked people don't. They're cut off from God. And so it's just cause and effect with them. God does not intervene one way or the other with them until the time is right. And so one gets a better ride in life than the other, but they're all wicked and they all come to the same end, destruction for their evil. You can't put me in that category, Job is telling his friends. Here in verse 24, his breasts are full of milk. That just means that he's blessed with robust health and strong body and bones. Verse 25, another dies in the bitterness of his soul and never eats with pleasure. They shall lie down alike in the dust, and the worm shall cover them. Behold, I know your thoughts and the devices which you wrongfully imagine against me, the schemes that you are accusing me of. For you say, where is the house of the prince? And where are the dwelling places of the wicked? What's the difference, Mr. Prince? You just turn out to be wicked. Have you not asked them that go by the way? Do you not know their tokens? That the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction? They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath? Who shall declare his way to his face? And who shall repay him what he has done? Yet he shall be brought to the grave and shall remain in the tomb. The clods of the valley shall be sweet unto him, and every man shall follow after him as there are innumerable before him. Wickedness all leads to the same end result, death and destruction, because of their wickedness. But you can't put me in that category. I have a pattern of serving God and being blessed. This is a trial and test and trouble that God is allowing to come on me to teach me lessons, and I need to know what those lessons are. But I need teaching and I need instruction on the lessons I need to learn. I don't need accusations of what a rotten scoundrel I am. This is the tone of Job's message here to his friends. Verse 34, how then comfort you me in vain with empty words, seeing in your answers there remains falsehood, lies. You are heaping lies upon me and you're not telling the truth. And it's not helping at all. It's making matters worse. Now we come to chapter 22. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, can a man be profitable unto God as he that is wise may be profitable unto himself? Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that you are righteous? Or is it gain to him that you make your ways perfect? Job, you're acting like you're so perfect and that you're so righteous. Does that impress God? He's saying. And so he's kind of hitting on the problem here. But he's doing it in the wrong attitude, and he doesn't know how to properly develop it to get the point across to Job. Verse 4, will he reprove you for fear of you? Will he enter in with you into judgment? Is not your wickedness great, and your iniquities infinite? There's no counting of your iniquities. They're without end. And yet you sit there in your pomposity and perfection, when in fact, look at you. Look at all these horrible things that are happening, and it's because you're so wicked, and your iniquities are without end. They're infinite. For you have taken a pledge from your brother for naught, and stripped the naked of their clothing. There's no proof that Job did that. He did the opposite. He was very generous to other people. Just look at the horrible crimes they're attributing to Job here. You have not given water to the weary to drink, and you have withholden bread from the hungry. Not true. But as for the mighty man, he has the earth, and the honorable man dwells in it. You have sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken. These are really horrible accusations. And we're going to see as we get toward the end of this book, God is going to really punish these three friends unless Job prays for them and unless they repent, because he is really angry at the lies they heaped on Job. Not only about Job, but about God himself. Verse 8, but as for the mighty man, he has the earth, not troubles you've got, Job, and the honorable man dwell in it. You have sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken. Therefore snares are round about you, and sudden fear troubles you, or darkness that you cannot see, and abundance of waters cover you. Is not God in the height of heaven? And behold the height of the stars, how high they are. And you say, how does God know? Can he judge through the dark cloud? You act like God doesn't know what's going on. He knows. Well, of course, Job knows that. Thick clouds are a covering to him that he sees not, and he walks in the circuit of heaven. You think God can't see through the clouds and through the haze from his throne in heaven? He sees everything he wants to see all the time anywhere. Yes, that's true. And Job knows that. Have you marked the old way which wicked men have trodden? Have you forgotten all about that? which were cut down out of time, whose foundation was overflown with a flood, referring back to past history of wicked men and wickedness that were punished with many different things, including floods and disasters. Verse 17, which say unto God, depart from us, what can the Almighty do for them? Yet he filled their houses with good things, but the counsel of the wicked is far from me. The righteous see it and are glad, and the innocent laugh them to scorn. Whereas our substance is not cut down, but the remnant of them the fire consumes. And so this man is saying, he's righteous. And they're saying, the counsel of the wicked, well, it's far from me. And he's saying, the righteous see it and are glad. And the innocent laugh them to scorn. And I'm in that category. Verse 20, whereas our substance is not cut down, but the remnant of them the fire consumes. Do you see how the whole point is, Job, you're evil and you have done evil, so you're suffering. I'm good, I've done good, so I'm prospering. Don't you get the point, Job? That's the message. Verse 21, acquaint now yourself with him, with God, and be at peace, thereby good shall come upon you, as if Job didn't know God. He was very close to God. Receive, I pray you, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in your heart. And of course, Job was famous for doing that very thing. If you return to the Almighty, you shall be built up. You shall put away iniquity far from your tabernacles and tents. Then shall you lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be your defense, and you shall have plenty of silver. Well, that's going to happen to Job. Not because this man said it, and he didn't say it from a good attitude either. And God is going to bless Job again, because Job deeply repents. But this man who's saying this is going to be in trouble because of all the things he says about Job, about himself, about God, and the attitude he was in when he was saying it. Verse 26, for then shall you have the delight of the Almighty, and shall lift up your face unto God. You shall make your prayer unto him, and he shall hear you, and you shall pay your vows. You shall also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you, and the light shall shine upon your ways. When men are cast down, then you shall say, there is lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. He shall deliver the island of the innocent, and it is delivered by the pureness of your hands. Well, he's outlining what is going to happen to Job later on, but he's not saying it as if that's what Job's going to do and as if that's what's going to happen to him. He's just trying to mock Job about, well, you know, if you really did serve God and pray to him, this is what would happen to you. But obviously you haven't been doing that. You're not doing it now, and you won't do it in the future. You're just so stuck up and stuck on yourself. All the while, the man saying this had that problem himself. That brings us to the end of chapter 22. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.